Good morning. Welcome back. Today we're going to start the Sugya of Tamim V'Nitan in Seven Ayin Hey, which is a bit of a shift from what we've been doing until now. We've been focusing primarily on the third chelik in Shulchan Aruch, at least for those that still use the old print, which it deals with the Gneva, Ina, Skiras Payalim, what the halacha is, what the rules are. However, when it comes to the Dinei Torah, very often there are two parts. You can only apply the halachos of Schiras Payalim and Ayna when you know the facts, when you know what actually happened. And all too often when the parties come in, you're hearing two very different stories, or if you want to be Olim Etzchus, at least two versions of the same story. And the Beis Din has to sort out what happens if there's hakasha. The parties are coming in with conflicting claims. How do we deal with the response? How does Beis Din come to a conclusion about what actually happened? Now, most of you here are not going to be sitting on a Beis Din anytime soon, and it's a bit less relevant. However, what we're going to deal with as well is very often when you have business dealings with people, over time, you can have there can be some sort of question of what actually happened. You can have a partner or a neighbor who comes to you and says, by the way, remember 4 or 5 years ago you borrowed money from me, you pay me back a little bit, you still owe me $500. Now what happens if you're not sure? You simply don't remember what happened. It's a suffix. Your neighbor's sure, he's a bari, you're a shema. How do you deal with these situations? Can you just say "amaytim mechadei alvaraya" until you bring proof? Goodbye, I don't have to pay you, or no? Or do we have to? Or do you have more chiyuvim with whether bidei adam or bidei shemayim? How do you deal with situations where you remember differently, or you're simply not sure about what happened? Now, we'll begin with some basic concepts in Tayim V'Nitan. And the first point, and just a general point, is that whenever you're dealing with a dispute, you obviously have to figure out what happened. Now, in halacha, we all know the rule is hamotzi mechavel overaya. If you want someone to pay you, you have the burden of proof. You have to prove that he actually owes you the money. And if you can't prove it, then you can't be mitzi mamon. You can't force him to pay. Now, lahavdil, this is very different in secular court. In secular court, I believe the standard is they go by the preponderance of evidence. Whichever side seems more correct is the side that will win, regardless of whether they're the moitzi or whether they're the mochzik. But in Beis Din is different. Beis Din cannot do anything unless it is very certain, unless it's very clear. If there's any suffix, Beis Din steps back. The Rabbanu Shalom takes care of the world. That's not our business. It's only when things are clear, when there's a raya, then you can be moitzi mamon. But absent a raya, Beis Din is passive. Beis Din leaves things lets it stand the way they are. Now, what that means is, if you have any dealings with someone, so to be moitzi mamon, you should need edim. Absent having two kosher witnesses, you're going to be up the creek because you're not going to be able to prove what happened. Now, having edus is extremely rare. To prove that you're telling the truth, if you're going to rely on edim, you need two witnesses that are kosher witnesses. They have to be male. They have to be kosher edus. They cannot be related to you, related to each other. They cannot be negeh bedavar. And as you can imagine, it is very rare in a business dealings for there to be two people who are not negeh bedavar that witness the entire transaction from beginning to end to come to Beis Din. In fact, I was talking to a very well-known dayan a while back, and he told me in his entire career he has never heard a kosher Haggadah say this. It's never two people who are kosher or not. And again, now people come to testify in Beis Din all the time, but they're coming in either as an Eid Achad or just to try to help the Beis Din figure out what happened, but to see if for the parties hopefully will admit they won't lie in front of them. But a real kosher Haggadah Eidus is something which is extremely, extremely uncommon. Now, if you don't have Eidus, and Beis Din does not accept any circumstantial evidence, how in the world can you ever prevail in a Din Torah? What does Beis Din do when there's a factual dispute? So The main answer to this is that Beis Din primarily relies on a shvua. If a person asserts a claim against you, so we'll discuss the detail, when yes, when no, but very often, even if he doesn't have any proof, he can in the very least insist that you make a shvua, that you swear that you're correct. Now, making a shvua is something which is extremely chomer. It's something which people are presumed to be honest, and even if they're not honest, they're willing to lie. But to make a shvua in Beis Din is something which people are typically not willing to do. And therefore, very often, Beis Din is relying on the shvua, relying on the fact that a person will not make a shvua sheker. Now, so much so, there's a machlokes in the Rishonim. When you have a claim against someone, how much detail do you have to provide to the Beis Din? You know, it's in the most extreme, the Rosh says, in Iker HaDin, you can call someone to Beis Din and say, you owe me $3 million. Why this? You owe me the money. Now, respond. If you want to say you don't, then tell Beis Din your potter. But you don't have to give details why it is that you owe the money, what the story was, what happened. All your point is just to make the bottom line claim. This is what you owe me. The defendant as well. May Iker HaDin, the Rosh suggests, that he just has to say, I'm potter. I don't know you a dime. Why? What happened? When did you pay this? No, none of your business. I'm saying I'm potter. Now, obviously, if there is such a tzad, then Beis Din is relying very much that at the end of the day, when they hand you a sefer Torah, when you make a shvua, you're going to tell the truth. Because Beis Din is, in a way, flying blind. They have no way to figuring out whether you're telling the truth or not. If they don't know it in the background, they don't know the story. Now, this is the shita of the Rosh, according to the Rambam. The shita of the Rambam, which the Mechaber passes like, is a bit different. He says that you do have an obligation to specify, to explain the story. The Tevea has to say, he can't walk in and say, you owe me $10 million. He has to say, I lent you this amount of money. I sold you this. He has to explain what it is. He has to back up the claim. The defendant as well can't just come in and say, I don't owe you a dime. He has to explain why. And the reason for this is, the Rambam explains, that people make mistakes. People can make mistakes. People, you might think that he owes you money, but it might be based on an error in halacha. It might be based on an error. You believed someone who wasn't Adis. There are all sorts of mistakes that people can make, especially when they're negei bedavar. And therefore, we force you to explain yourself so Beis Din can hear the story and see, is this correct? Are you right? Or are you basing your claim on a mistake in halacha? And that's why you have to explain yourself. Now the Rosh, although Me'ikar HaDin, he holds that you do not have to give much detail, nevertheless, Halacha L'maisa, he says, today we're the Shchichi Ramoim. Today people are not quite as trustworthy as they once were. Therefore, we make you explain your story. Because if all you had to come in and say, you owe me $10 million, that's it. It was simple as that. Or if all you had to say was, no, I don't owe you a dime, then it becomes much easier to make a fraudulent claim. So therefore, even the Rosh today, Halacha L'maaseh, the Rosh agrees to the Rambam that Beis Din will force both parties to explain the background, to explain the story, and that gives them more of a chance to see, is there a mistake over here, or is there some sort of ramos going on? Now there is a tremendous nafkamina between the Rambam and the Rosh. What happens if a person simply doesn't remember? It was from a long time ago. He says, I know I paid you back. Or, I know I don't owe you the money anymore. Why? I don't remember if I paid you back. I don't remember if I sold you something. But he's a bari, but he can't explain it. According to the Rambam, that Maker Hadin, you have to back up and you have to explain your position. So then, that might not be, just to say I'm potter, or just to say you owe me money, may not be enough. On the other hand, according to the Rosh, where Maker Hadin, it's enough simply to say I'm potter. We force you to explain it simply because we're afraid of Ramos. In that case, if Beis Din sees that you're not playing games, you're not giving more detail because you simply don't remember, it's too long ago, and there doesn't seem to be any foul play, there we'll accept your taina at face value, and we'll deal with it with bari, shema, whatever the halachas are. You will not lose simply because you cannot explain it or give detail to the Beis Din. Now, this whole discussion makes it very clear that we're very much relying on a shvua to determine whether the parties are telling the truth. That creates a tremendous problem today. Because Batei Din today do not administer a shvua. Shavuah is something which is very chomer. People today, as we mentioned, are perhaps less honest than they used to be or less nervous about a Shavuah. And therefore, Batei Din do not make a person make a Shavuah. And the problem then is, how do you, when you have parties come in and there's a Hakasha, when there are different versions of the story and there the parties are arguing about what happened, what does Beis Din do? So in truth, this is a tremendous problem. And the Batei Din today are forced to do something which they never did in the past, and that is they have to cross-examine the parties, they have to interrogate them, they have to gather evidence, they have to play detective, if you will. And this is something which historically did not seem to have happened. If you look at the tshuvos that discuss the different Dinei Torah, so there's the edus, and the focus of the tshuva usually is a little bit about the halacha. And then the question is, who's mechuyev to make a shvuah? Can you be is a shvuah daraisa? Is a shvuah darabanan? Can you be mahapech the shvuah? The focus was who makes the shvuah? Once you make a shvuah, that's it. Beis Din assumes that you're telling the truth. And we don't go ahead and start speculating or start trying to figure out and catching you. Maybe you are lying, maybe you aren't lying. Edus says it didn't do shul chakir. But in the parties, the focus was you made a claim, make a shvuah, and then we're makabel that shvuah. Today, where we don't have that, but they didn't are forced to go ahead and try to cross-examine the parties and try to tease out who's telling the truth. But again, this is something that historically a Beis Din did not do. And one of the problems is the Shach brings down from a Nimuki Yosef that if a Baal Din says something, so whatever his claim is, that's his claim. But if he says, you know, a word or something, what he throws in on the side, and you want to be medayik from it, something that will hurt him, Nimuki Yosef says you cannot do that. People are not so careful with their words. So if he's coming and saying, I lent you $10 million, okay, he said he lent you $10 million. But if while he's saying the story, he says something, which now the Beis Din sees is not true, or that can come back to haunt him, the Megillah Yosef says you cannot be quick to do that. People, they typically talk shaloi bediktuk. They're not so careful with their language. They may have forgotten, they may have slipped their mind. That's not what they were focusing on. And therefore, you cannot be medayik from their words against them. One example that's given is they were collecting the taxes. So the way the system worked is that you went in front of the assessor and you had to give a list of all of your assets. Now this fellow gave a list of all of his assets and he paid his taxes on that. Now a week later, this fellow brought someone to a din Torah and said, "You owe me $10,000. I lent it to you. You owe it to me." This fellow went back and he got the record, apparently subpoenaed the records from a tax collector. And his list of assets and his receivables, he didn't have this debt. So he said to him, if you went to the tax collector, you gave a list of all of your assets, and you didn't list this debt, obviously I don't owe you the money. And that, halacha is nothing doing. We don't have the concept of estoppel. But because we say, when he was at that point, he forgot about it. Again, perhaps it's a charitable way of saying it. But perhaps it slipped his mind, this particular debt. We don't say it's a hoidaz bal din for someone else that the money is not owed. It has to be, again, whatever he says clearly, and again, it is best and we can take. But again, to make diyukim, make a radin, you cannot do. So the Ritvaz asked that question. The Poskim all say that no. And they say you cannot be Lifnei Iver for a few reasons. First of all, he says, what's the Lifnei Iver? The Lifnei Iver is he's going to make a Shavuah Sheker. If you don't force people to make Shavuahs, Adarabah, it's going to be a Michshol for the public at large. Now people will steal because they know. No one will ever make a Shavuah because of this problem of Lifnei Iver. So Adarabah, you're going to be Goyrim more Yisurim than you're going to save. Now, on top of that, you can't call it an either if that's the halacha. The halacha is you can demand a shvuah. Now, in most cases, you can only demand a shvuah in most cases when you're a bari, when you know for sure that you're right and he's lying. So by definition, the Torah that says you have the right to demand a shvuah when he's a moed b'miktzas, you know good and well he's lying, that the Torah says you can demand a shvuah, obviously the Torah is saying that that's not called lifnei iver. Top of that, we said another in a few weeks ago when we discussed Lifnei Iver, there's a concept of Ha'itel V'Rosh V'Yomis. If he's stealing money, and besides stealing money, he wants to make a Shavuah Sheker as well, there that would not be Lifnei Iver, that's not your Achrayus. It is brought down. There are some that say, as Emil's Chassidus, that after you demand the Shvuah, once he's ready, goes through, he's about to do it, he says, perhaps you should walk away. But it's Emil's Chassidus. It's certainly not a chi of Mikra Hadin. You have the right to demand the Shvuah. If he wants to abuse it and be Oiver Nisr, that's not your achrayus. Well, there are two parts of every Beis Din. There's the investigator, there's determining the facts. That's only the first part. The second and perhaps more important part is, once you know the facts, what is the halach? I know Skiris Pailim, much of the Dinei Torah focuses on what the people's rights are even after you get the facts. If it's just a question of he borrowed money and he says lahadam and it's halkosher, then you're right. Then the Beis Din is just, they are going to do the best that they can to figure out what happened. But as again, we're going to see. There are many cases in Moedim Miktas, Kaifer Bakal, and in Dei Milvi Sinai. There is more to it. I'm being somewhat oversimplifying, just to bring out the point that Tayyim and Itzan revolved primarily around the Chi of Shvuah, and that's a tool that we simply don't have today. Now when you go to a Din Torah, in the arbitration agreement, in the Shtar Brurin, it typically gives the best and the right to Paskin Kifi Oymen Hadas. They can use their judgment, they can make factual determinations. And the reason why that's there is that without such a Kabbalah's Kinyan, Beis Din has to rely on Edim, a Shvuah, on an Omdino Demuchach, things that are extremely clear, because of the difficulties involved, because you won't have Edim, because Shvuah is not going to be done, therefore, to make it work, parties are makabel to Beis Din, give them the right to use their judgment, to use their discretion. If they're pretty sure someone's lying, they can take that into account, and they can paskin based on their Asharas Adas, even though it doesn't rise to the level of an Umda, it doesn't rise to the level of Edus. Now, one last Hagdama, and this is just, it's brought down at the beginning of Ayin Hey, and it's a very common dispute. Very often when people come to a Din Torah, so one of the parties will say, listen, I want to go to a Din Torah, but the other party is a crook. And I know good and well that if I win the Din Torah, he's simply not going to pay. So very often there's a request made to Beis Din that the Beis Din should force the party, the defendant, to escrow money in advance. You'll have the Din Torah. And that way, if you prevail, the Beis Din is holding on to the money and they can release it to the plaintiff. Now the Shach said, brings down from Radach, that halach lamaisa, Ramah brings it down, that Beis Din does not have the koyach to do that. The way the Mefarshim explain it is, forcing someone to escrow money might be nice for the plaintiff, that if he wins, the money is available. On the other hand, it hurts the nitzvah. The nitzvah is saying, I don't owe you the money. I need my money. I don't want to take this money and lock it up during the duration of the Din Torah. If I lose at that point, I'll pay. At that point, you can force me to pay. But to force me in advance to escrow money is unfair. Until you know that it's owed, how can you insist, or how can you punish me, if you will, and by forcing me to give up this money until you figure out that I'm right, and then you'll have to return it to me. Even half of it. The nitzvah's point is mehechatesa. I'm saying I don't owe you a dime. If he agrees he owes the money, he should pay it. But he's saying I don't owe you a dime. Because you're asserting a claim, and you not only are you making a claim, not only are you lying and saying that I owe you money, you're also accusing me of being the ganav. So that's not a reason for me to escrow money. You can't be mafsimi. What if today has proof that the mitzvah is transferring its assets to other people? It's like this. So as far as halach lemaisa, the later Chachma Shloima and others bring down that today we're makayach Beis Din Yafa. Today we're Beis Din has problems with enforcement. America, it's actually a little better because you can get it confirmed in court. But at least before that, or in many other countries, that's not an option. If Beis Din does not have an enforcement mechanism in some where they see the person is taka difficult, then Beis Din has the right, if they feel appropriate, to force the party to escrow money. Now, it's very rare for it to happen because today we don't have a Beis Din kavua. You end up going to a Beis Din that both parties agree to. The nitzvah is never going to agree to a Beis Din that's going to say, I want money escrowed in advance. So in practice, it never happens, but at least conceptually, if a Beis Din does see, if they start the case and they see right away that things don't look good, but this person is a tough customer, and if they wait till the end, the money won't be there. In theory, they have the right to insist on money being escrowed, but again, I've never seen it. So possible, but not very likely. Okay, so let's begin and talk about the actual Hilchos Tanin V'Nitan. Person comes in and says, "You owe me $5 million." You say, "Lahadam, no such thing. I don't know who you are. I never borrowed money from you." What are the halachas? When do you have to make a shvuah? When don't we have to make a shvuah? How do we deal with this? So midoraisa, there are three kinds of shvuah. There's a shvuah sashayimrim. If you give someone an item to watch, you come back from your vacation, you ask him for the jewelry back. He says he's very sorry, it got stolen. Now in that case, you have no idea if he's telling the truth or not. But nevertheless, there's a shvuah sashayimrim. That a shomer that claims that he watched it correctly and it got lost, he has to make a shvuah. Various shvuahs that he makes, so that is a shvuah sashomer. Even though the teveh is a shema, you have no idea what happened, nevertheless, you have the right, you can force him to make a shvuah about what happened. Now, in a regular business dealing, you say, "I lent you $5 million. The fellow says, "Lahadam, nothing doing." So in that case, midaraisa, you cannot force a shvuah. Kofer b'kol, your potter. However, if there is an aid echad that backs up the claim, now someone says you owe me $10 million. He brings one witness that was there and saw that you actually did borrow the money. So in that case, where there's an aid echad, you cannot be moitzi mamon with an aid echad. You need apishnei and yakum davar. You need two witnesses. One is not enough. However, one is enough to force a shvuah. And if the person says, "Lahadam, I never borrowed it," if he's being makrish the aid, so then he has to make a shvuah. He has to swear that he's telling the truth, that the aid is lying. If he does swear, then he'll be believed. But it's ayushav yishalem. If he's not willing to make a shvuah, then we will accept the testimony of the aid echad, and we will force him to pay. So this is an aid echad. Aid echad says you owe money. So in that case, if you want to be makrish it, you want to deny it, you have to make a shvuah. If you do not make a shvuah, then you'll have to pay. The third case, and this is what we'll focus on, is the concept of moedim mikzas. Someone says, "You owe me $10 million. So if you deny it completely, "Lahadam, I never borrowed money from you, or I paid you back, I don't owe you a dime," midoraisa, there's no shvuah. That's called a kofer b'kol. You're denying everything, you don't have to make a shvuah. On the other hand, if you say, "Well, wait, I don't owe you $10 million. It's only $9 million. I paid you back $1 million. I borrowed less." You're a moida b'miktsas. You're not completely disputing the claim. You're being moida to part of it. Moida b'miktsas has a chiyuv shvuah d'oraisa. And if you don't make a shvuah, in other words, if you say, "I owe $5 million, not $10 million, if you're not willing to make a shvuah about that, then you're going to have to pay the full amount. So if you're kofer b'kol, you deny everything, you say, I don't owe you a dime, then you're off the hook. Midaraisa, there's no shvuah. There's a shvuah tesim zerabanon that we'll get to later. But midaraisa, if you're kofer b'kol, is off the hook. On the other hand, if you're moedav mikzas, if you say that it's partially true, but it's not quite $10 million, they already, that's a moedav mikzas, and there would be a chiv shvuah. The way Rashi explains it is, when a person denies everything, so, Eino Demei is part of Nei Bachoiv. Typically, if a person borrowed money, he would not have the chutzpah to say, "I don't know who you are, I never borrowed money from you at all." And if you are Kofer B'kol, then you have your Neumon, and without a Raya, you don't have to pay, and you don't even have to make a Shavuot. On the other hand, when it's Moedim Miktas, when you agree, "I do owe you money, just not as much," so things sound a little bit suspicious. They're already, we're Choshish, perhaps you really do owe the money. And really, and your intention is eventually to pay it. You're not a gazlin, you're not a choshen, I'm a moino. But you don't have all the money available, so you're draying. You're admitting to half of it. You figure you'll push them off, and then when you come up with the rest of it, you'll pay it. Because people do these kind of things, they dray, they push things around, Torah was matul shvuah on the person, people will not make a shvuah sheker. And this will force them to come clean, to admit the truth, and to actually go ahead and to pay what he owes. Now, if a person claims you owe him $10 million, and he denies it completely, but two Eidim come along and say he's lying, he owes at least $5 million. So $5 million you certainly have to pay, because there's Eidus. But on top of that, the halacha is, you have to make a shvuah on the rest. Even though you're not a Moedim Miktas, you're a Kofer B'kol, you denied everything. Once we have Eidim saying that you owe half, so we say, Eidus is not worse than Hadas Piv. So just like if you're moida b'miktzas, you have to make, you pay what you admit, you have to make a shvua on the rest. So edus is not worse than that, and therefore, if edim say you owe part of it, you would have to make a shvua on the rest of it, even the part that the edim did not testify about. Now, whether you say mitoich on that second part, that array is a machlokas achroinim. It really, it's a bit of a technical machlokas. Perhaps we'll get to a different time. Whether if you learned it out of Gilgul Shvua, then perhaps it not be made mitoich. If it's learned out of regular Shvua, then yes. But that we'll get to later. So basically, if a person is a koifer bakol, if he denies owing any money, there's no Shvua deraisa. There will be a Shvua hesis derabanan. If he's moed b'mikzas, he admits that he owes part of it. There he has a chiyuv, he pays whatever he owes, and he's a chiyuv shvua deraisa on the remainder. If he is unwilling to swear on the rest, he has to pay. Now, what happens if a person comes to Beis Din and completely denies the claim? Person says, you owe $10 million. He says, I don't owe you a dime. But Beis Din asks him to explain what happened. And when he starts going through the story, I paid you $100,000 over here, I paid you $2 million here, Beis Din sees the guy, he made a mistake. And he really does owe some of the money. So obviously, whatever he owes, he's going to have to pay. Is he chayv to make a shvua on the rest like a moed of mitzvahs or not? So over here, it depends on the case. In a case where the person says, I don't owe you a dime, and he comes to Beis Din with a spreadsheet, look, I borrowed $10 million here, I paid it back. Beis Din looks at the numbers and they see something's entered on the wrong column. And he did his arithmetic wrong. He's really, even according to his story, he still owes $100,000. In that case, that's called a moed b'miktzas. Even though he didn't say the words, I owe you $100,000, he said, I'm potter. But since he said, I'm potter because I paid you, and he gave you a list of what he paid, and those payments are $100,000 short, that is the equivalent of being moed b'miktzas, and therefore you're going to be chayev eshvua on the rest. That's one case. The other extreme, a person says, I don't owe you a dime. But the claim that he makes, Beis Din doesn't believe. He's not believed. It's a taina garua. It doesn't sound right. Again, in Tanya Menithon, we'll see many tainas that without a migu, we're not going to accept. Beis Din simply doesn't believe your story. In that case, the halacha is, although you're going to have to pay whichever part of the claim Beis Din rejects, that means Bezin's going to make you pay, because in halacha, we can't accept this claim, we're not going to believe you, and you're going to have to pay part of the money. But you are not moida on a dime. Because if your story is right, you don't owe a dime. Now, we don't believe the entire story, and we're going to make you pay part of it because we're going to reject your claim. That's not a moida b'miktzas. It's a psak b'miktzas. Bezin has a hachra that you have to pay part of it. But since there was never a hoida, b'miktzas, there you will not make. You have to make a shvua on the rest of the money. Now, the middle case, which is a machlokes between the shach and sma, is what happens if a person says his claim. He says, I don't owe you any money. He explains why he's putter, but the reason why he's putter is he explains, you owe me money. There's an ar. You became an arev for a loan that I gave to someone else, and Beis Din determines that lahalacha that arevus is no good. So in that case, it's not a factual or arithmetic error on the netivah. It's a mistake in halacha. He's denying that he owes any money, and he has a claim, but the halacha is not like him. So here the sma is mechadesh afal pikein. It's not ki huzeh, it's not a hoidah b'miktzas, since he's l'maisa holds that he's potter. He's wrong, but he holds that he's potter, he's not being moed b'miktzas. Bez will be mechayev, that's their psak din. No, in the case of the spreadsheet, the person is saying, I made these payments. So these payments, if you look at the math, his story is, I still owe you $100,000. And when he looks it over and he takes out a calculator again, that's even his story, right, factual. In this case, he holds his potter. Whenever you have a Tanyan v'nitzan, they're entitled to their opinion. Now, he happens to be his wrong in halacha. He learned up the Rajba wrong. But he's not being moedah. The Beis Din is going to paskin not like him, because the Beis Din holds this is Asher, the Beis Din will hold this is Mutter. They'll paskin not like him, but paskining not like him does not make it into a Hoidah. I think the point is ki huzeh. The question is, If the Beis Din paskins that he's chayiv, that's a psak din. That's not a kiyuv. That's not a hoidah. That's the halacha. He's paying because halacha is that he owes the money. The point of hoidah b'miktzas is not that if you owe part of the money, you have to make a shavuah. The point is if you're moidah b'miktzas. So when it's a pashat you did your math wrong, you're moidah that these are the only payments, and now that you do the math, your hoidah tells us that you still owe the money. If you're hold that you're pater, but again, you're wrong, even if you're slightly insane, but you're not being moidah to anything. You're being makdish. Again, people who are makdish very often lose dinei Torah. But they lost the dinei Torah because they're incorrect in halacha, in nemanos, whatever it is. But the bottom line is, that's his, it's not a hoidah. The Shach argues, and the Shach makes the point, and I think this might be what bothers you, is just like if two Edom come in and say, you owe half the money. So that, we say Edis is not worse than Hoidah's Baal Din. So why is Beis Din worse than Edom? And that's, again, it's a whole tumult in the Achrayim and what the Pshah and the Sma is. But the Shach's point, I think, is what you're making, that since we know it for sure to be true, it's not really a doubt. It's your two birds. It makes no sense. It's certainly true. So why is it worse than Edus? That is the Shach's tie of why it's the equivalent of Hoidah and you'd have to pay. Now, let's, for a moment, shift over from talking about a Shavuah and talk about what happens if you're simply not sure what happened. Your neighbor comes over to you and says, remember 3 years ago, or you were short a few dollars before Yontif, I lent you $500, pay me back. So if you deny it, you say lahadam, so it's, halacha is, you're a kofer bakal, you're pater, you don't have to make a shavuah. What happens if you just don't remember? It was 3 years ago, you're a busy person, there's a lot on your mind, and borrowing, again, $500, $50, it's possible it's true, but you don't remember. What is the halach? So in a case like this, we're dealing with a bari v'shem. Your neighbor is saying, I remember for sure you owe me the $50. You're a shema. You don't remember. Maybe you do, maybe you don't. Now, we hold bari v'shem, lav bari yadav. If you want to force someone to pay, you have the burden of proof. The fact that you're sure and he isn't is not a proof. And therefore, Me'ikar Hadin, if you say that you lent the person the money and the fellow says, I simply don't remember, Me'ikar Hadin, he's going to be Pater. That being said, since he is a Shema, there is a Chi of Lasei Sidei Shemayim. There is a Suffolk. Maybe you do owe the money. And your neighbor is being very insistent, he's a Bari, that the money is owed. So while we can't force you to pay because you're a Suffolk, nevertheless, Lotei Sidei Shemayim, since you might owe the money, and this Erel Chayir who's sitting across from you is demanding it and saying, I know for sure, Lotei Sidei Shemayim, there is a chiyuv to pay. Now on top of that, the Imre Yoyishter suggests that what happens if you're dealing with a neighbor who you really trust? You know him to be honest, and you really trust what he says. So there the Imre Yoyishter says, if this is a person who you trust completely, even though you don't remember what happened, you're a shema, and you have these vague memories, but you don't remember ever borrowing the money. Nevertheless, if you trust him completely, then Rayoshu says you have a chiyuv to go ahead and pay. Now, it's not going to be enforceable unless you come to Beis Din and tell Beis Din, I trust this person 100%. You know, at the end of the day, it's going to be up to you because you know whether you trust him. There's no way for Beis Din to know that. But if you truly trust him, Meryosha suggests that there would be that you personally would have a chiv to pay the person. Okay, so we'll get to it in a minute. Right now, we're talking about when you don't remember the loan. Any day he'll be sani. If you remember the loan and you don't remember paying, that's going to be a whole different halach. Bari, so like that. It's not very clear. You know, bari v'shema. Bari means you're certain. Shema means you're unsure. There's an ateris chachamim that suggests if it's karov levadai, you're pretty sure this is what it is. Now you perhaps wouldn't make a shvua because it was 5 years ago. You know, at a certain age, you can't be sure about anything. What happened? But if you know this is what it is, you know, it's before the person brought it up. If someone would have asked you, do you owe money? The answer would have been no. Now that he's telling you in this epis, maybe, but your karov levadai, it's not true. So the ateris says that's a bari. Shema has to be that there's a real doubt here. Now, what level of OCD the person has or how to be magdar it is difficult. But the point is that It means karv levad. Teretz Chacham says we can ignore. It has to be a real suffix. There's a real doubt here. Okay, so this is like this. So in a case where you have a bari v'shema, where the schiva is shemayim, what happens if it's a shema toiv? If it's loy havale v'meida? So, in other words, the normal case of bari v'shema, I say you borrowed money from me. When you say you don't know, that's a shema gerua, because you should know. If you owe someone money, you should know. You borrowed money, you should remember. So you should be able to say yes or no. If you're not sure, so that's called a shema gerua, because, you know, it's a little bit suspect that you don't remember, and there's a chiv lotzis yidei shemayim. On the other hand, if it's a shema toiv, again, they're in a case where the person isn't expected to know, but when it's loy havalei leida, then many places say there's no chiv lotzis yidei shemayim. Now, if it's 10 years later, I didn't see this discussed explicitly, but it's very mistaver. If you come 10 years later, you owe me $50. Mistama that's loy havalei leida. Because normal people will not remember 10 years later this kind of debt. So if that's the case, it's like, according to many places, you will not have a chiv lotzis yidei shemayim. Now this is all any yedei him hilvisani. I don't remember that I ever borrowed money from you. However, if everyone agrees you borrowed the money, you know, you taka remember, 5 years ago is before Yontif, things were tight, you borrowed $500 from the neighbor. You're not sure if you paid it back or not. You think maybe you did, you're not sure. This has a completely different halach. Over here, if it's a bari v'shema, the neighbor's saying you for sure didn't pay me back. You're saying, I know I borrowed, but I'm not sure, perhaps I paid you back. Any day in paratich, the halacha is your chayiv to pay me'ikar hadin. And the reason for that is, there is eches l'schiv. We know for sure, 3 years ago you borrowed the money was owed. If you knew you owed money, unless you can establish there's a clear payment that released you, we're going to assume that choiv is still there. And therefore, in any of the emperatich, if you owe the money, you're just not sure if you paid, unless you're a bari that you paid, you're going to have to pay again. So if it's in a dehem b'yisani, I don't know if I ever borrowed money from you. Safek, maitzach v'alvaraya, I don't have to pay. Only let's say sudei shemayim. But if it's any of the emperatich, I know I owed you the money, but perhaps I paid you back. Safek piron, that is a whole different halacha. There you're going to have to pay. Now the Chasam Sofer has a fascinating case. There were two merchants. They were staying in the hotel together, and one of them needed change. So he handed his friend $100, and the friend gave him, you know, ten smaller bills, ten tens. Now a few hours later, the fellow was counting his money. And apparently what happened is like this. The fellow who had the $100 now had $100 in change. The other fellow was missing the $100. And what had happened is that when they had this discussion, the person who had the $100 bill says, he doesn't remember what happened. Either I handed you the money to your hand, and you must have lost it afterwards, or perhaps I just put it down on the table in front of you. I said, here's the money. And then you gave me the smaller change. That was his story. The other person said, Lahadam. He said, I definitely did not get the money. You may have put it down on the table, but I didn't notice it. So after we finished the conversation, I walked away. $100 sitting on the table in the middle of the hotel, so someone else walked away with it. What's the halach? Zakhtach Sam Sefer like this. If the person puts it down on the table, putting it down on the table is not a kinyan. And if someone gives you money, you just put money down on the table, that's not a piron, and you're going to be responsible. If you gave it to him in his hand, obviously that is a good piron, and that's okay. Zakhtach Sam Sefer, if you want to know what the halacha is, we have to figure out what happened first. Now, there are two options, according to you. Either you gave it to his hand, or you put it on the table. After you did that, the other person went ahead and gave you the $100 in change. Is that any adam nischayavti or any adam paratich? If you handed him the $100 bill first, so when he gave you the money back, did you owe him anything? No. Let's say you put, and so on that side you owed him nothing. If even you put the $100 bill down first, and he may have, you have a suffix, maybe you put it down on the table and he handed you the money. So there it's any idea in nischayavti. Because I don't know if I ever owed you money. Because if I gave it to your hand, I never owed you money. If I put it on the table, I did. So in edim mischayafti, halacha is, even though it's a bit, I'm potter. On the other hand, let's say he admits that the first thing that happened is the guy hands him $100 in singles. That happened first. Then he either, in exchange, handed him a $100 bill, or he put it on the table. In that case, he definitely got money. He was in the sky of the $100. He's a sophic, whether he paid him back correctly or he put it on the table. So in that case, it'll be an eni adeya imperatich, and there he's going to be chayiv. So if you know for sure that you took the small bills first, you became obligated to give him the $100 bill, you're not sure if you gave it, eni adeya imperatich, you're going to be chayiv. On the other hand, if it went the other way around, if you gave him or you put the $100 bill either in his hand or on the table first, and only then you took the change, then it's a suffix whether you ever became nischayev in the first place. That's enei dehem hilvisani, and there you're going to be potter. So zaklet sam sayfer, the halacha will depend on which action happens first. Now, if you're not sure which action happened first, the whole thing's a suffix. The chasam sayfer says mistaver you're going to have to pay because there's a vaday mechayev because you vaday got this, which you vaday got money from him. There's a suffix whether you gave it back to him. And the Chasam Sofer says in a case of suffix is mistaver, you will have to pay, but we'll have to revisit that next week exactly what the pshat in this last psalm is.